The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone.'" Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you were at one of my Ash Wednesday Masses, I began Mass by putting before us, why are we at church at all? Why do we celebrate Lent? What does any of it matter? And I held up for you this fact, that almost 2,000 years ago, there was an unprecedented combat between life and death. And the Prince of Life, still living, reigns eternally through his death. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to wage battle for us so that at the place where death was born into the world, life might rise. And the one who conquered you and conquered me on a tree might be conquered. God looked upon fallen humanity, looked upon you, and he said that you were worth his attention, worth his effort, worth his fighting for. And he came, and he did fight, and he won the battle. And now the choice for all of us, this Lent, but in our spiritual journey is this. Will I join myself to an eternal victory or to an everlasting defeat? And that was our prayer at the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday. As we begin this campaign of Christian service armed with weapons of self-restraint to do battle against spiritual evils. It's a battle. And that's the start of Lent, and that's where our gospel today picks up. This occurs immediately at the start of Jesus' public ministry. He's just been baptized. So he goes out to the Jordan. John the Baptist baptizes him. The heavens break open. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends upon him. And everyone can hear the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then today, immediately after that, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the desert. St. Mark puts it a little bit more bluntly. St. Mark says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Imagine this, because we got a lot of families with kids here. You have a birthday party for your kid, amazing party. At the end of it, y'all load up in the car, you drive out to the wilderness, you leave your kid with the wild beasts and the devil to contend with, and as you're driving away, you just yell, "Don't forget we love you, we'll see you in 40 days. In some ways, it's a scene that seems not to make a lot of sense. Beloved son driven into the desert to contend with Satan. Brothers and sisters, he's there to do battle. Because what happened to the first man, Adam, made in God's image and likeness? He lived in paradise, but he was attacked by the devil. and he lost that battle, and he was driven out of paradise into the desert, into the wilderness. What happened to God's chosen people, the Israelites, slaves in Egypt, who God came and fought for to free? From slavery in Egypt to the promised land, it's an 11-day walk, an 11-day walk. They wander in the desert for 40 years because the devil attacks them and they get confused. They get cowardly. They cease to trust that God will continue to fight for them and to lead them. And so what should be an 11-day walk is a 40-year journey. Jesus Christ goes out into the wilderness to fight. And the devil, when he sees Jesus going out into the wilderness, the devil is prepared. The devil fully believes that he's about to triumph. Because what did he do to Adam, made in the image and likeness of God? Satan defeated him. What did Satan do to the Israelites, God's chosen people? Turned it into a 40-year journey. So when he sees Jesus coming, beloved Son of the Father, in Satan's mind, I'm about to mess this guy up just like I messed them up. He does not know, though, that Jesus, going out into the wilderness, has laid a trap for him and is about to win his first public battle against the forces of death, because he will not fall as the others fell. So he goes out into the wilderness to fight for all those who have been in the wilderness, all those who are in the wilderness. And the devil attacks him. And how does the devil attack him? It's one word given in three iterations. The word that Satan uses is if. If you are the Son of God. He says that twice. If you worship me, all of this will be yours. If. Conditions, contingency, options. If, maybe, but he reigns and he attacks through indecision, through disintegration, which is to take something that should be whole and to pull it into pieces. He reigns through making you hesitant, afraid, disoriented, confused. If, maybe, but. He often attacks you and I that way. And that's part of the reason that Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, because who else is in the wilderness? Not just Adam, not just the Israelites, but you are in the wilderness. You are in the desert. And we experience this often through our sin, through our suffering, through experiences that are forced upon us. But sometimes we end up in the wilderness, in the desert, because we kind of wonder what's over there. And we start journeying out that way and we go a little further and further, and suddenly we're lost and disoriented and can't find our way out. All of us at some point end up in the desert, in the wilderness, and Satan attacks us. And how does he do that? If. But what about that? What if I give myself and I end up empty, so I'm going to hold something back? He reigns in our lives through wanting to keep our options open, through hedging our bets, through wondering, what if this falls apart? What if this is too good to be true? So many things where his goal is simply to get you stuck in indecision. His goal is to unsettle you from your fixed purpose in life. It's his goal. And to attack your identity so that you no longer know with complete conviction who you are and what you should do. When he attacks Jesus, though, when he three times gives him these if propositions, Jesus doesn't engage in that. He cuts through the ifs. He cuts through the maybes. He knows who the Father is. He knows who he is. He knows what he has been given to do. And he cuts through indecision. He cuts through conditionality. He is not taken up in that. He gives a definite to every maybe. It's not if he's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is not confused about his identity. He is not tentatively a savior. He is not hesitant about you, although we often are hesitant and undecided about ourselves. Jesus Christ cuts through the ifs, cuts through the maybes, cuts through the indecision. He knows who he is and what he's about. And he does that for you, so that you too no longer have to live under a cloud of question marks. You no longer have to wander through a wilderness of wants. You no longer have to be bewildered at your state. You are not a question. You are not tentative. You are not conditionally God's child. That's what Jesus Christ does in the wilderness. He cuts through that to get to the heart of the matter. You are God's beloved son. You are God's beloved daughter. You are given a mission in this world. And you now have the freedom, if you give yourself to him, to bring the full force of your personality to everything you do, because you need not be confused. You need not be lost. You no longer have to hedge your bets. You can stake your whole life on something sure that will never disappoint. But you have to want it. You have to want to get out of that wilderness, out of that desert. It's an 11-day walk, but many of us spend 40 years wandering around. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is not at all reluctant about you, not at all confused about you, not at all unsure who you are called to be. So much so, with great definitude, he could stake his life on you. Will you trust that you are beloved? So, brothers and sisters, here at the start of Lent, here in our own wilderness, wherever that is, we're called to allow ourselves to be rescued, to allow ourselves to be led out. How do we do that? We have our disciplines, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, but the goal is always to get to the heart. Who am I? And if I'm honest with myself, I'm not who I should be. Your heart, no matter how good, how loving, how beautiful, your heart is too small. Your heart is too small for everything that God wants to pour into it. So your heart needs to stretch. Your heart needs to grow, just like we grow a muscle. But how is that going to occur? God will help you to grow your heart if you give your heart to him. So at the start of Lent, you and I are called to live in a confessional posture before God. And I say confessional, and maybe your mind runs to the room in the back of the church. But what I mean by a confessional posture is this. How did Adam and Eve live before the fall? It says that they walked with God in the breezy time of the day. They were naked in front of God and each other, and they felt no shame. They allowed themselves to be seen. They allowed themselves to be vulnerable. They had no defenses between themselves or God. They were who they were, and they stood in front of God and let themselves be seen. That's a confessional posture. That I will present myself to God. I will drop my pretenses. I will drop my pride. I will leave behind my self-justifications that soften the fact that I'm not who I should be. But also, I will not condemn myself, even in those areas of myself that are small. Because sometimes God wants to look upon us and speak into our lives a word of healing, a word of patience, a word of victory. But we are so busy, so loudly condemning ourselves to hell that we can't hear the word of the Savior. So, brothers and sisters, who stands before God in a confessional posture? It's St. Peter when he denies Jesus. It's St. Peter when he thinks he's speaking out boldly to Jesus and then ends up rebuked. You're not thinking like God, you're thinking like man. The beauty of St. Peter, he offers himself to Jesus Christ without pretense, without defense, and he's open to God speaking a word into his life and who he is that might challenge him to be more, that might challenge him to think differently, that might challenge him to get up from his self-pity. And once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Peter becomes who he is because he stands in a confessional posture. I will not hide myself, the good, the bad, and the ugly from God. And because he sees my heart, he can help me to grow it. Who else stands in a confessional posture before our Lord? St. Thomas, the apostle, in his doubt. He was not there when Jesus showed himself. What does he say? Unless I can touch his wounds, I will not believe. In some ways, he challenges God. But he challenges God with an honesty and a vulnerability. This is what I need to believe. Jesus Christ meets his challenge in love. St. Thomas will go to India to proclaim the gospel and die a martyr. He goes to the place most foreign to a first century Jew because he stood before God openly, vulnerably, and then God could do something with his heart. Brothers and sisters, that's the invitation for all of us. We have wandered into a desert, or we have willingly gone there, and we could be out in 11 days if we acknowledge that we need a Savior, if we acknowledge that we get caught in hesitancy, indecision, hedging our bets, wondering, what can I stake my life on, if anything? And we end up wandering around for a really long time. But there is another way. The battle's already been fought, and the battle's already been won. Will we join ourselves to it? Will you allow yourself to be led out of the desert? Will you allow yourself to acknowledge, I don't know how I got here, and I don't know how to get out, but I'm going to trust myself to you. Brothers and sisters, sometimes it really is that easy. It's an 11-day walk, if you'll let it be. But we have to, like Jesus Christ, be grounded in relationship, to cut through the ifs, to cut through the maybes, to no longer hedge those bets, but to be all in on a God who is all in on you.